listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're going to stray from our study of 1 Peter to reflect on humility and the giving of thanks as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday. Giving thanks to God for all things is commanded in Scripture. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In order for us to have the ability to give thanks to God, we must have an attribute of humility. And we call humility an attribute because humility is not natural to the human nature. It must be an attribute from God. Humility is the embodiment of the attitude of Jesus, especially when He went to the cross. The Son of God, who was from the throne of God, who submits Himself to die upon a cross, must have humility. And even in His greatest hour of suffering, He gave thanks to God for who God is and what love that He had toward His creation in giving His only begotten Son to die for the sins of a wicked and corrupt world. Now that takes humility. Besides the love it takes great humility in order to submit ourselves to give to God the thanks for all things that is due to Him. God the Father is the source of all good. He's the source of all light, of all love, and of all creation. He created all things beautiful and good. But it's the evil one and the fall of man that has brought destruction, darkness, all things that are evil into this world. And there's been a struggle going on in mankind since the time of the fall of Adam. But yet God has given us an escape. He's given us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. But it takes humility in order to receive what God has for us. That's what He requires. The sin of Lucifer was pride. His sin caused his destruction. And he was thrown out of heaven and is here on this earth. This is where he is and will be until he is destroyed by God at the end of time. His fault was pride, the opposite of humility. So we see that humility is a necessary ingredient in giving thanks to God and even in seeking God. We have to realize that that's what God recognizes, is humility. It seems to be a forgotten word in our society today because this is a me generation. You know, that label was given to the generation of the 60s. It seems the worldly people are out for what they can get. Only the godly and those seeking after Christ are going to be able to be givers. There's givers and there's takers. It's okay to be a taker, but we need to be a thankful taker. How many have been bestowed with many blessings? Parents give to children, children give to parents. Friends, you give your time, your energy to good things. but there's never any thanks. And a person who has humility doesn't seek thanks. They do these things because they have humility. Most people think that's when you give thanks, is when you receive. But there's another side to that. We need to give thanks that we're able to give. There are many that would love to give and would love to do things for people, and they're not able. So we are thankful when we are a giver or a taker. And we are thankful for all believers who have that quality of humility. Because you know what they do? They seem to build us up. They're not really putting themselves down, and that's good. I don't think anyone should put themselves down. We're all created in the image of God, and we should have good self-esteem. But a person with humility doesn't try to lord it over another person. Also, a person with humility, it's not all about him. It's about someone higher or someone more worthy even, or even at times someone not as worthy as him. Humility recognizes that we have an obligation of love to give to one another, and we can't do that without humility. Because the enemy always is telling us what so-and-so did to us, and I don't want to help them because of the way they live and the way they are. I don't want to do anything for them. They're not trying to do for themselves. How many excuses can we have? We have a lot of them. Why we don't want to do things for other people. But we're coming into a season that we're supposed to be thinking about others and not ourselves. Humility is an unspoken characteristic. You can spot it right off in a person. A person with humility doesn't brag about himself. He doesn't boast in his accomplishments. He doesn't seek his own. Humility is very close to the definition of love. Humility is just a characteristic that you see in some people who just have an air about them that they genuinely care for other people. There's 10 attributes of humility. It always demands a level of trust. An humble person is willing to take a risk on others. And sometimes that can be good and sometimes it can't, because you can't trust everyone. But Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Trusting comes with caution. But humility has that childlike trust in people. Humility lets you know you don't look for self-glory. Humility is also gentle, but it's strong. It's not a doormat. It's not a wimpy person. It's a strong person who knows who he is and knows where he's going. A person of humility will also admit mistakes. That's hard to do, isn't it? That has the same attribute of giving thanks. You have to realize someone gave me a handout. Someone helped me. I needed help. That's when we give thanks, that we've had someone to give us some help. Also, someone with humility forgives easily, remembering himself how many times that he or she has fallen and needs forgiveness. A person with humility will also divert the attention from himself to others. We need to let others know about those who are working for God who are never recognized, and give praise where praise is due. A person with humility will also recognize their limits, but they will give thanks for what they're able to do. And they will give thanks that someone else comes along that can do what they can't do. Now, we're talking about the work of the Lord mainly here, but we're also talking about everyday life. There's some things we can't do. And whether we want to believe it or not, there are people who are helping us. Maybe some too much, and maybe some not enough. But we don't live on an island by ourselves. We must have others, and they must have us. That's the way God created us. There was an incident in the place where I worked where a fellow worker had quit, and he left quite a bit of work behind. There were about 10 tasks that needed to be done, and the boss had given them to another fellow worker and told him to get with me and divide the work between us. Well, in the meantime, this fellow worker went through and he picked out the best of the task. And then he said, "These tasks are for you to do. I've already chosen mine." Well, the tasks that he left for me to do were things that you wouldn't have done to begin with and could not be productive at all. But humility doesn't work like that. He got the best for himself and left the crumbs to others. Well, that's not how humility works. Humility works with the other people. It also prefers the other person before themselves. It also at least gives them an equal opportunity. If you're at the mercy of an ungrateful, unthankful, without humility person, it can make your life very hard, especially on the job. But we have to remember that the Lord was there before we were, and we're not above our master. He was treated in this manner, and we most likely will be treated this way too. But we should be an example and try to live our life in such a way that we don't mistreat people, that we consider their feelings and do what is right. I want to read you the Golden Rule in the New Living Translation in Luke 6:31-36. Do for others as you would like them to do for you. Do you think you deserve credit merely for loving those who love you? Even the sinners do that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, is that so wonderful? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, what good is that? Even sinners will lend to their own kind for a full return. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, and don't be concerned that they might not repay. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. That is the definition of true humility. A person with humility can take criticism. That is a big problem today, is people can't take instruction, they can't take criticism. And I must say that it's hard to take. We can take constructive criticism if we know it's coming from a leader or someone who has humility. But criticism is always painful because most of us are trying to do the best that we can. But if we will listen to constructive criticism, we can improve what we do. But there's just some people who are going to complain about everything you do. Now, I don't say you have to listen to them, because they will tear you down. They are counterproductive. And that's not constructive criticism. So humility helps you to know whether the feedback that you're getting from people are what you need. And a person with humility will pray, God, help me with this to do better. Humility lets us know that we don't know all the answers. It also lets us know how thankful that we are that there are some who know the answer. Sometimes they know it, sometimes they don't. But we know someone who knows all of the answers. And that's our Heavenly Father who cares about us. And He knows what to give us. We pray in the Holy Spirit because the Spirit prays what we have need of. We don't always know what we need, but the Spirit does, the Scripture says. Humility is recognizing where our blessings come from. We don't want to learn humility the hard way, do we? Jesus told of a parable of a man who came to a banquet. And there probably was no name tags as to the seating position of those in the long banquet table. So he marches himself up to the head of the table. Well, someone more worthy than him comes in. So the waiter had to go to the man and tell him, "Sir, you will have to move down. This seat is reserved." There are some seats that are reserved. And we know who's at the head of the table, don't we? It's Christ. We can't put ourselves in His place. But you know what? He put Himself in our place on the cross. That's humility. I'm so thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I'm thankful He took my place, and now He's the head of the table. All glory and praise goes unto Him. Now, what is thanks? Thanks is giving of praise. If you read the book of Psalms, you'll see that King David continuously praised God. I don't know how many times the word thanks is in Psalms, but it's over and over that he thanks God, that he praises God. In one scripture it says, God inhabits the praise of his people. He loves to hear us give our thanks unto him. In the Lord's Prayer it says, we give you praise, we give you thanks. We need to thank one another, show our appreciation, and be kind even to the unkind, it says. There's something that we can learn from everyone and something that we can be edified by if we have the right attitude. The key to greatness is humility. God described Moses as the most humble man upon the face of the earth. And you know God had a face-to-face relationship with Moses. One Jewish person said the Torah's definition of greatness says it's the ultimate level a person can reach. he has attained the greatest closeness to God humanly possible when he has humility. So outstanding humility is directly connected to his greatness. Now, this scholar asked the question, there are numerous good character traits such as kindness and honesty. So why is the attribute of humility the one that has enabled Moses to be so great? The opposite of humility is arrogance. God says he hates an arrogant person. God can't reside with an arrogant person. He's left out. There's no room for himself and the arrogant person to reside together. Number one takes number one position. So what does this mean? The arrogant person believes he doesn't need God to succeed in life. He feels that his own talents are sufficient and he doesn't need God's help. So God responds measure for measure and complies with this attitude. He provides the arrogant person with no heavenly help. Now that's what this scholar is saying. Therefore, the arrogant person is limited to what he can achieve by his own talents. He may be intelligent, which will carry him to a certain point, but after that, he's helpless. Humility is a desirable attribute. We have already established that if you want to be great in the sight of God, you have to have humility. An humble person pays attention to others, looks for opportunities to serve, and are modest when it comes to their own achievements. It is said that George Washington was a very humble man who was very uncomfortable in the spotlight. Yet had he not had the abilities and the blessings of God, he could not have accomplished what he did to establish the United States of America. Also, researchers have discovered that people with high self-esteem tend to overestimate their abilities. They're overconfident. As a result, they're not very thankful. How can you be thankful to yourself? Thankfulness is given to others, not ourselves. There are five qualities of an humble person. The Apostle James said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." The humble man submits to the will of God, repents of his sins, refuses to speak evil of his brother in the Lord, refuses to boast about what he is doing, and he recognizes that his every failure to do good is sin. He depends entirely on the Lord. He does not take pride in any righteousness that he may feel he has. He gives credit to the only righteous one for any good deeds that he does. The scripture said pride goes before a fall. We see that in the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who was on the balcony of his palace and was praising himself, looking out over his city of everything that he had done. He didn't recognize God in any of it. He gave no thanks to God. He only praised himself. Daniel 4:1-37, you'll hear the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. It says in Daniel 4, verse 29, that Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand, or say unto him, "What doest thou?" Nebuchadnezzar said, "At the same time I prayed this prayer, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established once again in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." The moral of this story is praise, blessings, and thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ will restore what God has for you and for me. He wants our praise. May we give him thanks in these holidays and bless his name. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of his word. It's a heavenly place, and he's leading.